from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper. You are live from the Path.
I'm not watching.
My microphone up.
Hey, I'm really loud. Hey!
I hear you.
Hey. Rough start. That's real disaster. All right, you're listening to Life in the Path. My name is Ben. I'm in charge of this dumpy show, so, I mean, whatever. I suppose if it's failing magnificently, I'm the guy. Info at lifeinthepath.org. This is my fault.
Email.
I didn't know his failures.
That's the deal. Here's what we got going on the show tonight. Mike was pondering a question earlier today, and I think it was, can you reasonably help feed the poor, clothe the naked without becoming that yourself?
Yeah.
Is that the question?
Well, kind of. I think there's there's a lot of people like, yeah, we should help the poor. I don't really want it to affect me much, but I would really like to help them. You know what I'm saying? I just figured we'd talk through it a little bit, because I think there's parts of me that are like, you know what, screw this life. I'll sell the place and I'll go live on a dirt road. I don't care. And then the other half of me is like, am I just becoming part of the problem? You know what I'm saying? Am I joining society, a different form of society? It's not where I was meant to be. You know what I'm saying? Am I making rash decisions? And so, I don't know. I was just trying to think through it as like, can you really help, the poor and the disenfranchised from your high seat? You know, can you help people from there? But then on the other hand, what's your definition of poor? You know what I'm saying? So anyway, I just thought we'd talk through it a little bit and see where we're at there. Because frankly, I think there's a 50-50 split. I think you got people out there that are completely unreasonable about it, throw everything to the wind. Like if the Lord tells you to sell everything you have and move somewhere, you best be on it, right?
Yeah.
If he didn't say that, I don't know if you should just be making rash decisions and getting rid of everything for no apparent reason. I don't know. We'll talk through it.
Okay. Dan, you've got some What's Trending with Dan. What's happening?
Well, let's see. We got three different things. We have a young woman who accidentally sent a nude selfie of herself to her father. That was embarrassing.
Ooh.
We have
Dude.
Hey, I didn't do it, but it is trending.
I think there's many reasons why we know you didn't do it, Dan.
We have Steven Spielberg accidentally killed a dinosaur, and people are pretty upset about it. And we have, what's this one? Oh, there's a bunch of people from other countries coming across our border who are also maybe right along the line with what Mike's talking about.
Yeah.
Hungry, poor.
I might be borderline. We'll talk about it. That's actually one of the subjects that's gotten me thinking about it.
Yeah.
So.
It's where the rubber hits the road, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's what's happening today. And we're going to get to that, see if we can identify how the man of Jesus is supposed to react to the modern things happening in the news. Also in studio with us is Ryan Ekotunik. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, man, it's good to have Ryan back in. It's been a little while. We had to ban him from the last time he was here. I mean, I'm not going to go into details, but, like, it required a plunger to fix. So we haven't had – it's been a while. But but it's good to have him back. There's a lot of cool stuff going on in his life. And primary, I mean, happening tomorrow – on Tuesday is we're sponsoring the concert up at Zeke's and Ames, and Echo is part of that shindig, and we're glad to have him. So let me ask you this question. So what's it how's college life treating you on the music scene?
It's been fun. Honestly, through the fall and spring semester, there really wasn't too much going on musically.
Yeah.
I was trying to just think about Broken Connection, which was my debut album from last year, and then thinking ahead. So college really had more of just the ministry side of just being in relationship with people instead of pursuing music. And so now in the summer where I'm just working and then trying to still be in relationship with people, but focusing more on the music aspect, it's been really fun so we can concentrate more on that. So
talk to me about that, about the relationship aspect. Cause I think maybe that's something that a lot of folks don't get to see from an artist's perspective of how that plays into you actually being able to do what you want to do musically.
Yeah, it's that whole balance thing, man. Like, as an artist, what I always want to be careful about is never making people feel like I'm just an artist, but making them know and letting them know that I'm a human being as well. It's just that God's giving me an ability to use music to speak to people.
Yeah.
But it's not like, oh, I'm an artist, so all I want to do is talk about music and what I'm doing on my next album, and
yeah,
you should come to all my concerts or you're not my friend. Like, no.
Well, three quarters of them at least, right?
Maybe a few more would be nice.
The one tomorrow at Zeke's.
I'll be a better friend.
Well, I mean, sure, I do appreciate the support, but I want to make an emphasis of that for sure, that just because you don't talk with me about music doesn't mean you're not my friend. Just,
yeah, right.
It doesn't mean that I don't want to be in a relationship with you. So,
did you find it hard to have a relationship with someone where they like forget you're an artist? I mean, like, I'm coming from my world, I'm a preacher, and people like,
yeah, what
they
is
can't
it,
talk.
What is it you do again? You mop or something?
Well, they're all like, oh, I'm sorry, I said that. Like, why do you have Paul? You know, it's like they can't forget that I'm a preacher. Do they ever forget that you're just a human guy? You know, you're not.
Yeah, sometimes they really do. I actually get that as well, especially when some people say stuff around me. They're like, oh, dude, I'm sorry. It's like,
was that going to show up in a song now?
Is like, that, oh, man, no. You're going to talk about me? Ah.
And then one time Greg swore, and I was like, yeah.
And Jesus was mad. What?
I called this those comments, hammer. And I threw them on the ground. Like, no. Honestly, for me, when people do that, I just kind of look at them, and I smile, and I'm like, man, I would rather you be real with me about who you are in front of me than try to put on a fake facade and just try to impress me in front of me and do that.
I always find if I swear
real.
Too, they feel better. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of alleviates the bond.
With
them. Yeah.
Hey, man, I love Jesus. Bad word.
I mean, obviously, you're not good at it.
I'm not sly about it. I'm weird about it. I'm just like, hey, guys, I love Jesus and can use interesting words, too. Listen up.
Hey, are we better friends now?
Some people are like, now we're just really, really uncomfortable. Big guy. What did he even say?
Jesus, dude, please stop.
Yeah, you know what? If this is what the kingdom of God is like, I'm not coming in either. I thought it was too far one way, now it's too far the other.
Here's the deal.
Now I can no longer be cool with those words because you tried to use them.
I don't want a Jesus. I don't want any part of a Jesus who is trying to be like me. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
Like, where he's like, oh, I want Jesus to relate to me, so he starts calling me homie or whatever.
I didn't
like,
say that's what Jesus did. I said that's how I do it. Obviously, I'm falling.
I'm just saying, like, sometimes people want to, like, try to twist Jesus so he acts like, I act, and I feel like that's kind of the antithesis of a God I'm looking for.
Jesus. I really want to follow a God that kind of resembles me. Wow.
He looks up to me so much.
Yeah, sorry, guys. Jesus is not your homeboy. I hear that one a lot.
That's so great.
That's like going to the Home Depot, and all they have is like all the screws that you don't need, and you're missing all the screwdriver tips. And like, this looks like my house. That's why I came here.
I could have done that at home. All right. Hey, actually, so there's a lot more actually I want to know from Echo. There's he's gotten some spoken word stuff that's got a lot of YouTube stuff. He broke the cardinal live from the path inference, which is don't dive into the comments. But I feel like he might have done it the right way. So we're gonna get to that here in a little bit. I'm interested to hear his experience in that. Let's get to in the interim. Let's see what's happening in the world. Dan, give me some details. What's happening?
All right. Yeah. Let's see. Let's start out with a nice one here. Okay. Recently, a cheerleader received a bunch of grief for posing next to some big game animals. Maybe you saw that on the internet that she had hunted. And as a joke, some guy posted a picture of Steven Spielberg sitting next to a mechanical dinosaur from Jurassic Park movie from a long time ago. And the guy encouraged people to share the photos so they could shame Spielberg for killing the animal. And it was shared like tens of thousands of times. And people were saying all kinds of mean things like, I'll never see one of his movies again. I can't believe he did this. It's like, it's a dinosaur. I mean, you know, it's like, it's not real. So here's the question. People tend to disengage their minds or become overly aggressive when they get on social media. This will key in here. How should a Christ follower treat social media discussions?
Holy cats, this is a big one. Wow. Go, Dan.
Little did I know that was something we were talking about.
That was the easy one.
You got three options. It doesn't matter. A, it doesn't matter because nobody knows who you really are, so you can say what you really want with no consequences. B, we must be self-controlled and alert at all times. The words we use are a reflection of our faith in our Lord. Or C, I'm too wimpy to have the conversation live, so I have to do it online in order to say things that are truly necessary.
What's D?
That you only get three choices.
It's a trap.
That's all it is.
It's a trap.
There are no other options.
All right, Boova, you're up first.
I totally want to say C just to be funny, but no. So B, no matter what, you're still representing yourself. People know who you are by your name, even if what you're posting on there isn't necessarily going to speak to them.
I go under Diggy57. You have no idea who I am.
Diggy57, huh?
I mean, I'm going to change it to Diggy58.
Well, fine. Now that they've got me.
I'm going to be able to get on the YouTube comments and, wait a minute, Diggy58. I talked to you 3 weeks ago. You were on 46. How many bad comments have you made?
I'm just saying, you don't know me.
Ultimately, you're still representing yourself. It's you talking. You should guard that no matter what. Even if it's they're not going to be able to come back at you, even if I put Buva09 on there and they have no idea who I am, that doesn't mean that I still shouldn't be representing correctly myself through my communication. So be.
All right.
Yeah, we've got a life purpose. We've got an obligation. We need to be getting this message out. And, hey, social media can be a way of doing that. So by all means, be. Yeah.
B.
I would say B as well, because honestly, with every single action, with every single word, whether that's in person or on a screen where they can't really see your face or hear your words, you're a living testimony, regardless of what you say. And so, whoa, hey, what's up? So I think with our words, sure, we do need to be careful. I also think we need to take into consideration the mindset that the person we're talking to also has, though. Not just kind of go guns blazing at them without thinking first, hey, where are they coming from? What's their situation? But yeah, B.
All right, B. Everybody's in with a strong B.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. I find myself rebelling against these conversations just in general because I don't think they can honestly be had. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think people borderline on the C, like Dan's talking about, like, they don't really want to have this confrontation in person, right? And, like, I feel like I'm exactly the opposite way. If I try to do it over some kind of writing, you'll infer sarcasm where there wasn't some, or you'll take context where it wasn't context, and, like, I completely generally stay out of those weeds. I can't imagine, I can't remember the last time I commented on anything, because even with two words, they're like, if you're like, okay, for you then. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I'm gonna be like, confrontational no matter what you say.
What do you mean? Okay, you know, Buvo9 is giving me the rub. And so, like, sometimes I think it's probably because I see that more often than not, and frankly, it irritates me that like people are like, I'm having a rough day, and people will out of nowhere fly in with like verses and stuff, and it's like, hey man, look, the guy's just having a rough day. You know, he's not giving up on the Lord. You know what I'm saying? He hasn't jumped ship on Christianity. He hasn't called Jesus away from him. Yeah. He's just like having a tough time. You know what I'm saying? Just wanted to say so, you know, and here they come. They're like Jesus vultures, you know what I'm saying? They make you feel like the Lord has left you for having a bad day, and there's no possible way that you could feel down on yourself at all at the slightest amount. And so, like, I almost hate that just as much.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's so, I don't know. I don't know. It just feels like sometimes it's just a little bit too much.
Well, you know what it is? It's like they're really not engaging in conversation. Social media becomes sometimes where people are basically looking for ways to rent their own billboard space for a few seconds. You know, what can I broadcast to the world and that you can attribute to me and be like, oh, Diggy57 really gets down on it. You know, he knows the truth and isn't afraid to say a word. And then, like, to what point? To what purpose? Because you said it was going to rain Thursday, and I'm not having it.
And so I've seen it like, hey, man, my mower's not running right. And then some dude was flying over to comments. They're like, Lord, please help this mower. You know, don't worry, the Lord's with you. I'm like, you know, I feel like a simple mower technician could have handled this problem. You know, I mean, if the Lord wants to bring the thunder, he'll bring it. I don't suppose that he's going to, you know, you're going to bring it on. But I don't know. Sometimes it just seems a bit much, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the question is broad intent. Like, are you in there to have actually relationships or conversations? Or I mean, again, are you there to rent billboards and kind of post around?
Yeah. It is pretty easy to maybe go over the top when you're online. Even if you're as yourself. I was on some Facebook discussion, a year or two ago, with an atheist with a bunch of other people. And he was just making these ridiculous comments. And I was in a bad mood. And I was just like, you're ridiculous, you know, and I just was really short and just like mocking him. And I kind of got done. I thought, okay, I don't know that I really advanced him, myself, or Jesus in any way.
Yeah.
It's not like he suddenly said, you're right, and came to Christ, you know.
I am ridiculous.
I mean, and he was. He was purposely being ridiculous. But I thought, okay, I don't have to play his game, you know, but I did. I did that day. And I would never have done it live. I wouldn't have sat down across the table, I don't think. I would have maybe used some of the same words, but in a more maybe gentle way, rather than you're an idiot. Yeah. You know, yeah. Why
Plus
you
your profile picture is deceiving. You know, like you got a big smiley face picture and you're writing a bunch of meat stuff. You know? Hey, that's weird to see.
Jesus hates everybody, especially you. Okay, that one was always, you know, I had a pretty obvious answer if you're a Christ follower, so I'll give you all 10 points. 10. There, wrote it down.
I'll take 10.
All right. Yeah, I'm cool with 10
points. Yeah,
we're all winners. Participation medals for everybody. Okay, here's another one.
I want to win.
A 23-year-old woman accidentally sends a nude selfie to her dad. She sent it by accident, and then she recorded his very angry response on video and put that on social media. And now she's trying to cash in and get some reality television show, and there's people actually looking at signing contracts with her. And it's just blowing up onto some silly thing. So here's the question. What advice would you give to women who take nude photos of themselves? A, put your clothes on and stop trying to act like the Kardashians. You're more valuable to God than a few cheap photos. B, you're only young once. Do what you want. You can always ask for forgiveness later. Or C, if you're acting this way for a Hollywood job, it's okay because it's art.
Hold on. Here comes the Dan agenda plane. Clear the runway, boys.
I may have thrown that in a little bit from last week.
I stopped buying suntan lotion. It's offensive to me.
All right, Mike, you're in first.
Hey, okay, this is not going to sound right. If you're sending that to your husband, I'm totally okay with that. I feel like that's all right. Like, however you and your marriage wants to get down, I think that's cool. If it's not your husband, that's a big no. Absolutely not. Don't ever do that anymore. Ever again. In fact, even if it is your husband, I'd look at his phone directly after he gets it and then delete it. Because, I mean, you know, what if it rings and the kids look at it or something? You got to watch yourself on that jazz. This way, like, if you don't have that number lock on there, you got to watch yourself. But I'm just saying... I don't have any problem with that. I mean, I don't really see the problem. Hoover.
I think I'm in with that answer.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
How awful do I sound? I'm like, I'm not a married guy, but yeah. No. Yeah, I think. Yep. Going to get myself locked into that one. Hey, I agree with Mike.
Okay. All right. Do it.
Yeah. I.
Married picture, Tuna. Come on. That's got to be solid. Hey,
don't ruin it.
What could be the problem? I'm not married yet, so I can't offer married advice. But to a woman, just speaking to her personally, I mean, obviously, A, what we're talking about there, but I think also just more importantly, they just need to remember who their identity is in, not in the approval of other men. And I just really want to encourage them that shouldn't be their identity, that shouldn't be their appreciation. But that's just a little deeper side note. But yeah,
Ben,
what? He's right about that.
I know.
The underlying truth is that if it's not within a married relationship, you know, I don't know, you're giving away the farm. I mean, like what you're doing is you're cheapening yourself to the extent that there's more, if there's more to you than that, but that's what it takes to keep someone reeled in or to get someone's attention. Like, that's not the right kind of attention. I mean, yeah. it feels good at the moment, but like ultimately that's not where you want to build. And so yeah,
that was my answer. It's exactly what I said.
Yeah, the thing is, you'll get that attention whether you send that selfie or not. I mean, that's the way guys are wired. You don't need to have that selfie. She's already going to get that sexual tension or whatever. She's looking for that. Just by being female.
That's also true. That's also true. It's a misnomer to think that you have to be nude for a guy to be like, oh,
no,
that's a fine looking lady.
No, that's true. That's and here's the deal. Like, I mean, you know, dudes are they're visually wired. That's true. Frankly, you're not doing fellas a whole lot of service by offering up more than you probably should anyway. Like, they're having a hard enough time as it is. You know what I'm saying? Just the female voice and a shoulder is about enough to, you know, send most dudes off the wire. You know what I'm saying? They can't control themselves anyway. And so, like, the more you can keep it at bay is the more that you're going to attract the right kind of guy that can appreciate that. And he's not gonna ask for that anyway. You know what I'm saying? The right kind of guy doesn't ask for that stuff.
Yeah.
That's not what he's after. I mean, he's after eventually when they get married. But I'm saying when he's not, I mean, he's looking for the relationship. And he's basically looking to go through life together with you and not take from you. That's not his goal. He wants to add unto you, not to take from you. And so, you know, by just offering that stuff and taking it, it's exactly what it is. It's not a fair exchange. And frankly, like, especially as the woman, you really should be looking for a man that's going to add to you and not take away. And I just see that as flat out theft.
Yeah. Theft.
Unless you're married, then it's all right to me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Straight up.
I don't know why Tunic's taking such a hard line on this thing.
Eric, do you have any additional commentary?
No, I think Mike got it all. I
mean, okay.
It's just there. Yeah, I agree, Mike.
All right. Rocket.
Nobody should agree with Mike. Minus 10 points for Harry. All right, this is the last one.
Okay.
In recent weeks, there's been a relentless onslaught of illegal immigrants crossing the border around the clock. Many of the people are unaccompanied children, some with highly contagious and dangerous diseases. Here's the question. How should the church respond to the needs of these people? A, they should be sent home and taken care of by their families. They can enter our country legally if they want to. B, churches should send mission teams down to the border to personally care for the needs of people. C, we should pressure the government to take care of the needs. Or a bonus one, D, I don't like to talk about politics, so I'll pretend nothing's happening. Mike Boost.
Mike, you're in. Dan called it out. You're up.
Okay, I want to do a combo, though. I like A and B.
You're always a combo.
I know. I can't help it, though.
It's a black and white world.
Nah, it's not. This issue is the one that's really put me in the straits. Because, I don't know, like, there's a separation between country and the kingdom of God that is starting to get wider for me. Like, it didn't used to be wide. It used to be one and the same. God and country, that's the way it lives. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I'm looking at this story, like, this morning I was thinking about it. I'm like, I don't look at people right? I look at them with designations that God did not put on them. You know what I'm saying? And I thought, I don't know. Like, the implications of where my heart is, there's more to it than that. Like, if I just say, look, they need help, let's help them. You know what I'm saying? There shouldn't be a whole lot of squander here. But, like, that does have broader implications on security of, say, that a nation, which God does not ask you to forfeit. But, you know, so I don't know. My heart's torn between a couple things. I really don't I don't know that I trust, say, our government to handle this correctly with God's heart. But then on the other hand, you know, I don't know. I'm going with A and B. I'm saying, yeah, go down there and take care of them as they cross. And B, we need to send folks across the border and help them where they're at. That's where I'm at. It's got to be both. It can't be just one. Booba?
So I think that I'm torn between A and B. I don't think I agree with both of them. And I'm trying to figure this out. So A was we send them back, let their own families take care of them. B is the church sends missions down to them, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Dang it, I'm sorry. I'm a combo between B and C. That was one, help them at the border, and C, send someone across the place, right?
Yeah, one's have the government do it,
yeah,
and one's have the church do it.
Oh, no. Yeah, I vote for church. Sorry.
Because see, here's my reasoning on that is it's easy to sit back here in Des Moines, Iowa, and go, yeah, someone should do something about that, yeah, and then do nothing.
Oh, no, right. I'm sorry. I'm solid B. I confused the two. I'm B solid. Yeah. Church, I'm on church responsibility. Sorry.
I agree with the church's responsibility, but...
No, that's a mistake. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Mike. I agree with the church's responsibility. That's what we're called to do. We're called to take care of the people that need to be taken care of. I completely disagree with C. We don't need to leave it on the government. That's ridiculous. We need to take care of this stuff. That's what the church is called to do. But I'm iffy on because I'm wondering why they're coming over, and it seems like their families aren't able to take care of them, so you can't really say A. So I guess then I am a solid B now that thinking about it, working through it. So B, church need to take care of it.
Eric?
Eric. Yeah, clearly the church needs to get involved. I mean, our country's not being invaded by children. This isn't an issue of national security, even though it's a border issue. But it's not like something that, you know, the republic is going to fall because of this. So don't get crazy. The worst that's going to happen is just some economic switcheroo down in the southern states. That could be a little bit of a problem, but that's small potatoes compared to what they're going through. You have to ask yourself, there's a reason that these kids are fleeing the countries that they're coming from. There's a reason that their families are sending them, that the families are willing to be split up in the hopes that these children might have a better future than serving in some cartel's army after they've been kidnapped and drafted into it. So these kids are looking for, even though it could be the worst possible American lifestyle imaginable, it's still better than the best possible lifestyle they could have back home. And the families are sending them for this. The church should respond to the situation on both sides of the border if they can. On our side of the border, they have a lot more ability to respond to these kids and take care of them and help them out. On the other side, it's tough trying to work against the cartels that are there, that are the ones who are really pulling the strings. I know that each of these governments down in Latin America has some kind of legitimacy, but ultimately there's some kind of drug money involved in all of them. So that gets very messy on the other side of the border, and that's a whole different and longer discussion. but the church needs to be involved in that too.
So I mean, well, Ryan, what are your thoughts?
I think you guys all summed it up. Honestly, I mean, okay. I really wish I could add more to that, but that is really truly what I believe. I think we need to help them. It's some mission of the church, and I agree. Absolutely. Well,
all right, so let me ask this broad question then, because I think basically the common thought here is that the church has a responsibility. There are people in need. There are people that are hungry, people that are naked, direct responsibility, okay? Does a nation have a responsibility to protect a border?
I would say yes.
Dan's in with a yes. Nobody else?
Yeah, I'd say yes, I guess, yes.
Okay. So then how do you blend those two then? Like how do you do both? How do you protect a border but otherwise accept any number of people in who are leaving? Because I don't think there's a lot of room for disagreement here, right? Like that they have a better shot at a better life in the United States, that the church has a responsibility to care for them, but that if there's a legitimate need for a country to have a border to be able to understand what is coming in and coming out of the country, is that a separation? We say, well, as the church, our responsibility stops there. We just started to care for these people. The rest are policy decisions, and that's not our deal because we kind of live here.
That's where I have a difficulty with this whole thing. Is that I see so often the church wants the government to take care of the church's responsibility. So the church pressures the government. You need to feed the children. You need to do this. You need to do that. And that's never what Jesus said to do. We are to personally take care of the
need. Yeah, actually, I'm 100%. That's actually kind of where that's my standard argument against people who have a problem with most of the government handout programs. I say, how do you think we got here?
They should get rid of all government handouts and let the church do it all.
Well, but the problem is the church didn't do it. That's why the government's doing it, right?
Right.
Like what happened is the church was supposed to be taking care of the poor and the disenfranchised, and all of a sudden they're starting to line the streets because the guy's like, look, if he's not going to help himself, if he's not going to get a job, if he's not going to get off the booze, then forget it. I'm done. And so the church goes, I don't want to help him anymore. And so now there starts to be poor people all over the place and go, look, somebody's got to do something about this. It's starting to bother me.
Right, right. And we can lament the fact that the government is involved in healthcare and that the government is involved in welfare and the government is involved in all these different things, right? But like what the state of the church should be that the government should be able to show up on a street corner with $300 in food stamps and there's no one that wants it because they're being taken care of. But that isn't the case. Like you can lament that all you want to, but that's not the case.
Yeah, no matter what the government's doing, it's still the church's responsibility. So the church can't cop out and say, "Oh, they got this covered."
Yeah,
we still have to do this. It is our job.
It's not so much a responsibility issue in my mind. It's a missed opportunity. Here are these kids who are very impressionable right here. They can have their introduction to a new life here in America, or even if it turns out that INS gets involved and they get thrown across to the other side of the border. We still had a moment that we could share with them where they kind of had a glimpse of something, and we can actually impart upon them, hey, there's this kingdom that you can be a part of. There's this Christ who is awesome. He will change your life. They can bring that goodness back with them, or they can integrate into this society, and we can be involved in that process. Or we can just kind of sit back and say, all right, government, it seems like you've got some money, and you've got a small cot over here for them to sleep on, so you've got this covered.
Right, and I think that's where we run aground is not considering both, right? Like you saying we have both, and we have a responsibility to care for them and an opportunity to share Jesus with them, and it's the same thing. And sometimes we get in the mindset where we're going to choose one or the other, as if we don't have the ability to minister to them in both ways, because I think they both contribute to the same thing. They see Jesus correctly through the understanding of both. But I guess back to that same distinction though is like, then what do you do? Like, my response in my country, I open borders and people just run in. I'm not sure that's a reasonable way to run a country though. So what's a government to do? Okay, we're off the UN Council.
Well, what's it say on the Statue of Liberty?
But in an order in which we can identify who you are.
Yeah, so I'm big on using the papers. We need to keep the legality of the process and illegals. I this is where I wear the two hats. I think nationally, we have to secure our borders. There are people who are coming that are legitimate in need, and there are also people who are legitimately want to hurt our country. And so the nation needs to protect its citizens. The church, on the other hand, we can be more reckless and abandoned and go help people and so forth.
Is that tension just acceptable then? Is it acceptable as our tension to say, look, the government's going to do what it's going to do. I understand the need to close a border. I get that. I can even support or vote for that. But at the same time, I will still be down there feeding, clothing, talking about Jesus.
Maybe that means it's more risky for me. I need to engage with the drug cartels and things. I haven't done any of that, though.
No.
Nor have we sent a team.
No, that's true. And I guess that's the thing. A lot of this comes back to something that Davis hit on a couple of times, which is, you know, are you willing to get involved for the things that you're praying about? Or are you just like tossing stuff in the air? Or you pray, like when you say, hey, you know, God, will you help? Are you willing to be the help? Are you willing to be the footsteps?
Let's do this.
And a lot of time we're not. And a lot of time we blanket things and we're not really preparing to jump in and work for something that God has working for. We're willing to say it, which frankly is a symptom of our version of Christianity at points, which is the things that we like to say versus the things that we like to do, forgetting that we are saved for good works.
So do we need to send a Life in the Path team down to the border?
If we can be of service, let's check it out.
We went to Oklahoma last year and did tornado relief.
I don't know how we can be of help, but it sounds like it's worth sniffing into if we're going to bother to talk and pray about it.
I'll fight people.
Okay. you're out. They're going to send you back to Honduras.
In the name of Jesus.
They're going to say, what's that, Senor Buva?
I'm going to get off the bus. I'm going to start running whirlwinding at people. Punching.
No, that's going to help.
That's right. In. Look at that crazy white Mexican. You don't have any papers, eh?
All right. You're listening to Life from the Path. Hey, look, that's what's happening in the world. Hopefully, I don't know, we're trying to digest the things of the day from a perspective of someone that loves Jesus. Hopefully we've done that. If it don't sniff right, definitely check your Bible. Berean that stuff, man. Just because it came out of our mouths, anyone can have a radio show.
Yes, really.
It just takes a few $100 a microphone. So, I mean, definitely be checking that stuff against Scripture. We're doing the best we can. Pray for us and be willing to step in if necessary. info@lifefromthepath.org. So we were talking a little bit earlier about dealing with people online. And so, Tune, tell me a little bit about this spoken word business that you got out there. Let people know what it is and then go check it out. And then I want to talk about how you're engaging people in the comments, because we have a standing rule that comments, especially on Christian-oriented things, are friggin' poison. It's a poison field. So I think you got two options. You either got to dive in or bail. Mm-hmm. And you've taken the dive-in route. So set it up for me. Let me know what it is that they're commenting on about the spoken word thing, and then tell me how that experience of kind of digging in the comments with folks has been.
Man, okay, so it was an interesting experience because I honestly have never gotten into spoken word too much. And so me and Ryan Buck, who did the visuals of the video, it's up on my YouTube page. It's called What is Love? Spoken Word. And he just did a phenomenal job. Just a quick shout out to him. Ryan Buck is amazing in so many areas, and God has given him so many talents and gifts. But so we did the video, and I think the thing that really got people in an uproar, which is interesting because I look through the comments, and I really can't find any other reason, is they go through the whole video and they're like, yeah, I really agree with this. Okay, yeah, that's so true. We view love in this way instead of this way. Because I take it at the beginning from a perspective of someone who's kind of either looking at a TV or looking at ads, and they're like, okay, so this is what love must be. And they agree with that. They're like, yeah, that's what they seem to paint. And then by the end, you start getting these subtle messages of like, okay, there's something more. There's a reason why we all crave this love. There's a reason where this came from. And then with the last line, I just say that's Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He is the love. And that's what's got everybody, if I will, in a hissy fit, is that line, is that it's Jesus. Otherwise, they're like, I'm good with it. Like, it's a great video. And a lot of people, interestingly enough, and I find this encouraging, are like, you know what? I don't agree with your views on it, but I think it's also still a really great video. I think it's just still a really great message. So thank you for that. And I really do appreciate that. It's like, I don't always have to agree with you about stuff. And that's something we do address in the video as well. It's like, just because I don't agree with you doesn't mean I don't love you.
Yeah.
And so the comments, what I've been tackling, is a lot of times comments between people.
Yeah.
So someone's trying to evangelize to someone else who's like, well, I don't really believe in this Jesus stuff. It's kind of like, bleh. This other person's like, well, here's some books, here's some context, here's all this stuff. And they just, I have someone who made a simple comment like, so what if they don't believe in Jesus? What is love then? And I just gave them my perspective. Like, so this is why I wrote this video. This is why I wrote this spoken word. You don't have to agree with it, though. And I really do appreciate you taking time to give your input. And that's really all I have to say about it. Contact me through this email. I would love to talk more about it personally.
Yeah.
Instead of over here. And then someone else commented and started talking about, well, here's these books, here's this, that. And after a while, I was like, I love that you both are giving your opinion, but there's really no benefit to each other through that. It's really not going to help. But thank you for giving your opinions, everybody. I would highly suggest and encourage, let's take this off this page and talk personally one another. You see face-to-face, you hear those things that might be taken, like you were saying earlier, sarcasm, things like that. And they just kept going. So I was just like, okay, I'm not going to keep trying to stop them from that. But the reason why I comment back to people is to let them know that I personally do care about their opinion.
Yeah.
Most of the time it's just, thank you. Appreciate you watching. Thanks for giving your opinion. I'm encouraged by this. That's an interesting viewpoint. Stuff like that. Nothing like, well, this verse says this, so.
Yeah, and I think that's a really healthy tact. You know what I'm saying? Because it's an ears to hear thing. You know what I'm saying? Which personally, I'm not the best at, but like, especially online, like it's an ears to hear thing. Like, sometimes you have to know somebody to know whether they have ears to hear what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And like, it's not like God does not know how to bring people to Himself. You know what I'm saying? It's not like you are the one thing standing between this man and Jesus Christ. You know what I'm saying? Jesus knows his kids. He knows the hearts of his kids. And like, if he wants to use you to talk to that guy, then great. But like, so many people try to force it. Like, and they try to force it hard and like with really hard stuff that like maybe I wouldn't understand. And I've known Jesus a while. And like, I'm just now digesting C.S. Lewis with any type of capacity. You know what I'm saying? And so like, people are like, you should read this, or you should read this guy. And people are like, maybe you shouldn't start him in Leviticus. You know, let's put some stuff in context. And if they want to talk about it with them. But like, this might just be personally me. But like, there's nothing I hate more than having a two-man conversation in front of three people. You know what I'm saying? Like, having a conversation that belongs between me and Dave Herrick in front of everybody. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The same as at work, the same as with my wife, the same as with my kids. Yeah. Like, if my kids do something they shouldn't have, that is a me and them conversation, not a me and everybody in the church conversation, not me and everybody in the department store conversation.
Yeah. It's
between me and them. And you know why? Because that shows respect and love for them.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. And so, like, by moving that off the thread, like you're saying, that's showing respect and love that maybe they're not even showing themselves, but, like, I don't want to have this conversation with you in front of everybody. Not everyone's going to get it because they don't know you like I know you, and we can't – there's things we can't say in front of everybody. And, like, I think that's a classy move, and I think that really is. It's an ears-to-hear thing, and, like, the fact that you get it, I mean, just shows that you love somebody more than the next guy that wants to beat him over the head with Deuteronomy.
You know, I have that exact problem at work. Like, my wife will call, and, like, I don't like having – I work in an insurance office, right? It's a cubicle. There's 10 people around me at any given time. I don't like having a conversation with my wife in that arena because they don't get to hear her side of the conversation. Mm. And like, and sometimes the way I talk, like, I'm afraid that they will think less of my wife by how I speak. And that doesn't speak well of how I talk to people generally. however, like, it's just not a conversation for them. And they can't help but hear. It's not like they're intentionally eavesdropping.
Right.
But like, I just, anything, there's kind of even mild disagreements about, what we're going to do that night or whatever. It's not for them to have any room to think anything of my wife when she's not adequately represented because they only get my side of the conversation. And so I will try my very best to not have conversations with her actually over the phone. I'll go somewhere else if it's something that I think like has that potential that we might have some sort of disagreement about. It's not for them. And I think it's not fair for them to be able to potentially infer who she is or how she's talking or whatever based upon half of a conversation.
I also like the way that with your comments, you're just kind of focused on showing support and appreciation. You aren't sitting there trying to defend this work that you created, and you don't have to sit there and dissect and tell them what the meaning is or anything like that. I think that actually helps to elevate the original video itself, because you as the author of it, you don't have to go back in and go through and talk through the meaning. I mean, that's basically like having to explain your joke after you've told it. I mean, it ruins everything in it. But by not having to do that, and instead just in response to what the people have been saying, you just say, hey, thank you for your perspective. I appreciate that. Thanks for paying attention to this. There's a classiness about that you don't have to tear apart your video as you're going through it. So kudos. Awesome.
Well, thank you. I honestly, like, to be real, it's taken me a while to get to that place.
Yeah.
Because, like, I used to be the guy that would bring the fire to my comments. And so praise God that he's humbled me in that, because I don't get it right all the time either. And, like, two things. One, I totally agree with you. I actually had a guy comment back to me on YouTube who was like, thank you for just, like, not pressing God on me, like, over and over and over again. It's not that I don't want to tell him about God.
Oh, he loved you, yeah.
I think Jesus is the most amazing thing I've ever experienced. It's not that I don't want to do that. It's just I don't want to do that again.
Yeah.
He's been having over and over again. So.
Well, you just did it through the video.
Yeah.
It speaks for itself.
Yeah, it spoke for itself, exactly. Yeah. And, I mean, I have had comments where they're like, well, I had one comment where they didn't get it.
Yeah.
They thought I had said it differently, and I did, like, have to explain a little bit to him, like, hey, go back and watch the video. I actually meant this instead, but thank you for watching that kind of thing. But
I suppose that is the one thing you got to correct. You just got to make sure that Jesus is represented correctly. As long as you get that part, but, you know, whatever. You hate the video, don't hate the video. Whatever.
Yeah,
that's solid.
Yeah, and I guess that's a broad lessons learned, I think, for us as the church is this posturing. Going back to kind of Dan's question, like when you bring the fire, like there's a posture in that makes it sound like you have authority to bring fire, and you don't. You ain't the fire, man.
That's not you. Even the disciples didn't be like, bring down the fire. They're like, can we bring down the fire?
Can we do that?
Can we do that?
Yeah, exactly. Jesus, do you want us to bring down fire on the town that you just left? Like, we can do that for you. Don't worry about it.
It's the difference in having real conversations or renting the billboard, right? So, like, if all you've done is rent the billboard, here's the deal. I never buy anything from billboards. It's just the truth of it. Whether it's digital or otherwise, like, I can't think of the last time I passed a billboard and thought, oh, sweet.
Coca-Cola.
But BOGO at Payless. Like, I don't care. I'll check it when I want it. Now, it's not that there's not opportunities, but the thing is that, like, real life presents plenty of opportunities to talk about Jesus. From an evangelism standpoint, like, we're always looking for some sort of sweet path or 10-step program or something, you know, as if day-to-day life doesn't apply to the works and words of Jesus Christ. And that's foolish. And that's straight up foolish. And, like, and that's where we run into that, is we use the online as a billboard for, like, a supernatural event that we're going to shove our crap into, as opposed to recognizing day-to-day life where Jesus matters, where Jesus completely applies, and where you don't have to manufacture something to have a conversation. And that's I think where our online activity goes askew, is we feel like every time someone says something, it's a manufactured event which asks for our billboard rental, so that we can get our business in. And it's like, and it's not, it's weird to think that's not real. Like, it's not real. It's not actually a real life deal. It's a fake event that we've decided to trump up, and we don't actually have conversations that people want to have.
I think that the social media aspect of evangelism, it is so easy. It is so incredibly easy to go onto a post, you know, whether it be someone saying, oh, I don't believe in God, and then you coming up with this huge long comment back and be like, you know what? Through this comment, my words are going to bring them to Jesus. Let's do this.
Yeah.
I am going to do this. Let's, God, don't worry about it. I got this.
The wrath of my vocabulary will know no bounds.
Okay. I've got my Jesus Mad Lib. It's just like, okay, I've got atonement in there. You know, we've got forgiveness.
Yeah, because everyone that doesn't know Jesus knows the word atonement.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like, what do you know about sanctification? It's like, what?
I was just about to point that out. I've seen that. Hey, do you know what the word sanctified means? No.
It's the process.
That's your opening get.
You know, I can tell that you don't know anything about Jesus. Let's start talking about how the Holy Spirit works in your life. It's, it just,
I found myself doing it too.
Yeah.
Is the really easy comments to make. And I think that hopefully I'm working my way and getting there to the point where I do not do that. But I honestly recognize within the last year how easy it is to do the Facebook post and how easy it is to do the YouTube comment about Jesus and everything like that. And it's so funny because it once you step back and you look at the concept of what relationship have I built with this person to even be able to speak into their life? How have I connected with them in any way? I know their username. I know this is
Diggy 57,
whatever. But don't
Don't troll me, bro.
I don't
know. Get a lot of comments.
I don't know anything about Diggy 57. Excuse me. I read in YouTube comments, Diggy 57, that you're having a hard time. Let me try and reach out into your life and talk to you about my Lord and Savior. It's like, what? That makes absolutely no sense.
You have just described the CNN belief blog. That is everything on CNN.
It's, I know everything you need to know about your stupid cat picture and then your profile name. That means nothing. I can't speak into your life when doing that.
You love cats. You must be lonely. Let me hook you up with Jesus.
You know there ain't no cats in the Bible.
Exactly. It's just it's sad that that's what it's come to is we feel like we're doing outreach and we feel like we're doing work for the kingdom of God when we talk on Facebook and when we leave comments and we leave the, hey, Jesus loves you on this random long rant and expect them to go, oh.
You know why? Because there's no risk in that.
Yeah,
you know
there
saying?
Isn't.
Like people are based. It's going to sound bad. People base are cowardly. You know what I'm saying? There's no risk in sitting on my Facebook going, get back to the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Or you've separated yourself from God. Get close to him. You know what I'm saying? I don't have to say anything more. I've said my piece, and like I've represented God, so I'm out. Like the risk is going to his house and looking him in the face at 2 in the morning and say, what is going on, man?
And it kills me that that is was the checklist for someone. Someone did that on some social media and said, I did my evangelism this week. God is happy. I did what I needed to do. God is happy. I said he loves you to somebody. That's great. I've done awesome this week. And we look throughout, we talked about it just in your daily lives and the conversations that you're walking past where you're not representing Christ and you're not representing your godly heart that you're supposed to have and you're ruining every single one of those interactions. But you go to Facebook and you put something up like God loves you with a Bible verse and a pretty little sunset in the background and you feel like you've evangelized.
Yeah. Did you see this on GodTube?
or this
hey, man,
selfie?
Did you see this young kid that's from a different country that's singing a God song? Isn't it great? Love Jesus. No,
or the
ridiculous
selfie in the mirror with a verse, and you're like, "What does that have to do with God at all?" Like
Philippians 4:13 right behind you. What's up? It's like, did I Snapchat a Bible verse? And I feel like that's my evangelism.
I need to delete a few posts here.
I had one half started. Said, "Make much of me, Lord."
Well, and also just thinking about it. Honestly, what's the heart behind most of those? Like, are you? I really like the billboard statement you make because it's truly about like, hey, let me show you how great I am, how righteous and how perfect I am for you, and show everybody else like, oh, that person is a Christian. Wow.
Yeah,
that's great. And so you just go on social media, and I also liked what you're talking about with like one-on-one conversations when you like try and make it a public event. No. You're making it a public event so you can get a little more self, like, just more praise for yourself and make yourself
look how I handle this.
Yeah. It takes much less glory and a lot more work to go behind the scenes and talk to someone personally than to go public and make it look good for yourself. It truly does. And I mean, that comes from me.
I mean, that's the deal. People are a dirty business. You should know you're one of them. You know what I'm saying? Like,
people's gotten involved with you, and it's hairy.
Yeah, and so, but like, I mean, if you feel like you solved someone's problems and it was pretty easy, you didn't help. Whatever it wasn't helpful. Like, I dropped off some cupcakes, and now they feel better.
Yeah, they have a lasagna.
Yeah, that was their life problem.
I mean, honestly, I would love some cupcakes.
Yeah, anybody out there,
if you want to drop by a cupcake,
that solves the direct problem, which is a man says, "You know what my problem is." I don't have any cupcakes.
Guys, I'm going to tell you right now. Your problem is never you don't have cupcakes. I can attest to this personally. I've said many occasions, my problem is I don't have ho-hos. Guys, that's never the problem. Trust me. Never the problem.
Here's the thing is ultimately we get caught up on trying to point people to what Jesus believes. But if they don't know Jesus, they don't care what he believes. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like what I believe is irrelevant. Let's call God a God. Okay? I should care what Jesus believes, but only if I know who he is. And if we don't agree on who Jesus is, or I don't know Jesus, I don't care that he believes in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And so let's start there.
Right. Let's talk to you about the sin that's in your life, because there's a God that you don't believe in, by the way, that loves you, that you don't believe in, by the way, that wants you to do something that you don't believe in, by the way. But I'm going to tell you how much you shouldn't be doing that before telling you about how much he loves you.
That's right. You're separated from him. Oh, no.
There's a law in Kalamazoo, Missouri, and you're breaking it. Yeah. What? That makes no sense.
That's like someone tell you when you're 78 years old that, like, you have a great Uncle Chuck who died 40 years ago.
Thanks. Like,
oh. Good. I didn't get any inheritance or anything.
Actually, you did.
I've been waiting 38 years for this check. This is ridiculous. Yeah, no, it's that's insane. I see so many times where people attack the sin of someone, and before they say anything about what Jesus represents, who Jesus is for their life, who he is supposed to mean to their heart, they tell them about what they're doing wrong. And I'm thinking to myself, before I was a believer, if someone were to come up to me and say, Troy, you're sinning in this way, and you need to stop it. And then a couple weeks later go, oh, by the way, I completely forgot about telling you, hey, Jesus loves you and died for you, and then all this good stuff. But before I tell you about any of that, you need to start following him, and you need to start being obedient. It just doesn't make sense.
I suppose it helps if you're sharing the good news to actually start with maybe something good.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Let me share the bad news about how you're going to hell. And then we'll eventually get to how there's a chance you're going to heaven, but we're really going to dig into the whole hell thing for a bit.
Well, I think that goes back to
And then
to
you're
the
supposed
whole...
to be in a good mood at the end of this conversation.
Well, yeah, it stems back to the old idea of the gospel being a sales pitch. You got to create the need, and that's what they're trying to do. Is like, oh, you have a need. By the way, you realize everything's going downhill for you, you know, and here and I can help you. Rather, you know, that's what it really stems
Because that's a good mentality.
You know the thing that I've noticed, though, is like everybody knows the need. Like, you don't have to tell them nothing. Yeah. Like, you can look at almost anybody, whether they want to acknowledge the existence of Jesus Christ and the Lord and Savior, you say, something don't feel right, does it? And, like, everybody knows that feeling. Everybody knows what that feels like. Whether they want to say that's the lack of God in their life, they know something ain't right.
Yeah, right. They may argue what to attribute it to and, frankly, what the solution is. But, like, that base need in people, there are I've met a couple. Well, but there are very, very few people that would deny that they have that.
That's right.
Yeah. That need exists.
Because they've obtained things and lost things, and they still have that same hole. Right? It doesn't matter what they get or what they lose, they still have that same hole. And whether they want to acknowledge that as sin in their life and not being next to the Father, that is what it is, right? And so, like, you very rarely have to oversell hell. You have to say something doesn't feel right, does it? And, like, they know that. They won't tell you that, but they know it.
Yeah.
And they'll remember that for the rest of their days. You know what I'm saying? As soon as people say, like, it's the same thing when I have a conversation with a guy who's always struggling with something. He's like, I'm just having a problem. You know, I feel like my relationship with God's not right. And I say, what sin is separating you from him right now? I said, don't tell me, but the Holy Spirit will told you right there. That one that you're not going to tell me, that's the one the Holy Spirit's talking about. It's true every single time because everybody knows the answer to their question already.
Yeah.
Everybody already knows the answer. They just don't want to take the jump because it's messy. Just like with people. Like, even the relationship with Christ, like, it's very straightforward and clean cut. But, like, the brass tacks of it is dealing with his people and dealing with the fallen world, and that still is messy. Doesn't matter who's running the string.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, we've got to, if you're on 99.3 KTA, we've got to let you go. If you're listening to the podcast, hang back through the break, and we talk a little bit more with Ryan Ekotunik. Hey, listen here. I don't know what you got going on tomorrow, and I don't care. I want you to be at Zeke's. Starts at 6:30, okay? It's on Lincoln Way. I've forgotten the exact digits. type that stuff in the computer. That'll help you out. But there's four great bands. Echo's going to be there. We're going to be hanging out. I'm at least going to be there. Are you guys coming?
I'll be there.
I'm going.
Okay. All right. It sounds like we're going to make a date of it. Four-dude date.
Instead of going out of the border like we belong, we're going up to Zeke's.
We're going to put on a show.
Hello, Conviction.
My name is Don. It's all good. Someone else take care
of
that.
Here's the deal.
Hashtag webs.
There's guys. These guys are out there. They're working hard for Jesus to spread a love. And they get access to people that you and I may never get access to through that music. And so support those guys. It'll be a great show. It's $5 at the door. Come out to Zeke's, and I hope to see you there. If you're on KTA, I got to let you go. We'll be right back with you. You're listening to Live from the Path. Hey, man, apparently there's a mouse in the studio.
There's a mouse?
Yeah.
Hey, tell me if you see him. We'll get a cam on him.
Don't lick the floor.
Gross.
Crap. Hey, you know what that's from? I dropped a peanut butter Captain Crunch last week, and I've attracted mice.
Dude?
Yeah, they love peanut butter.
Doggone it.
I hate cinnamon.
That's what's done it. I've attracted mice with it. What a mistake, man.
No doubt.
What a real bummer. All right. All right. Tunic, what else you got going on in life?
He's looking at his Facebook. He's tired. Of you.
Are you Facebook?
What do I got going on? Putting the verse on real quick. I saw people were sharing live from the path. Okay. So I was like, hey, sweet.
It's a bonus.
People are looking.
Hey, by the way, I heard from someone yesterday that they were talking to somebody in Egypt who had seen live from the path.
Woo. Oh, hey,
that
there
is
you go.
Awesome.
We're live in Egypt.
Was he under arrest?
There it is.
No, oh that's what God. I was thinking. Hey, get the camera. Get the camera on him.
Oh, he's little.
Oh, he's a cute little guy.
No, he's just a little, but he's very.
Is it going to reach? Sorry, there's a mouse in here.
Aww. By the way, if you want to stop by these low rent digs, be on the show. You give us a Facebook message.
He's like, oh, I'm out of here.
I'm stopping. I'm going.
You can come in.
Okay, Boova's got it. All right.
Out of this entire building, he comes in this room where he's like frightened for all these giants. Be no. free.
Hey man, speak for yourself. I'm not that big.
Hey, he's the best mouse missionary ever.
That's true. He's going. He's going where the need is. They're talking about the border I'm in.
hungry people.
So, where can people pick up Broken Connection?
Yeah, you can go on pretty much any online distribution site like iTunes. You can listen to it on Spotify, Amazon.
CD Baby?
Really anywhere. CD Baby, I think so.
Yeah.
Why would you bring up some kind of obscure one that might not be on?
Everybody
how helpful is that?
Because I've never been on CD Baby, and everyone that comes in here says, you can buy my album on CD Baby. I'm like, I've never been on there.
That's a distribution company that helps get it on iTunes.
Okay.
And yeah, a lot of artists do use CD Baby. I use TuneCore, but I think CD Baby should be on there as well. We'll also have physical copies tomorrow night if you come to Zeke's, which is a really good.
That's the thing to do.
Yeah. And there's a little mouse. What's up, little guy?
Boova, do you got
the building?
I thought you were.
I think you left the building. I thought you were goaltending.
Boova,
he's really kind of cute.
Hey man, I was trying.
Dude,
I did everything I could.
Let's be 100%
honest. Like that Germany game.
Okay. Here's nice. Way to bring in pop culture. We did our best with what's happening. We didn't do great. Here's the deal, guys. If you guys are expecting me to do any kind of physical activity, you don't know anything about me.
That's fair.
You know why I was a goalie when I played soccer? I was the size of the goal for a while. Like when we had the little kitty goal, I was just like, all right, I'm maybe 9 years old. I'm almost 6 foot. I weigh about 200 pounds. Let's do this. Got size 14 feet. Let's do this.
Good luck.
Second that goal got bigger, I'm like, I can't move this fast. What? You expect me to move to that side at the time that that guy kicked? No. I will fall, and then if I catch it in the fall, we're good.
Actually, it'd be almost funnier to see Boova try to intimidate the guy kicking it. Don't you kick it over there.
Yeah, exactly. I'm in the middle like, just tell me where you're going to kick it. Either way, I'm going to have trouble reaching it. Just tell me. Like, I'll start running when you tell me right side.
Right side, right side.
Right side, about 3 foot below the top bar. I'm going to go, all right.
You know what? Can you text me?
Yeah, on the count of three, I want you to kick this, okay? And I start taking a couple steps. I would still miss it if I'm being 100% honest. Now, if you need something that's stationary, that is very heavy, to be picked up momentarily, I'm your guy. Like, that's it. But if you need that thing to be moved while I'm momentarily picking it up, as long as it's like 2 feet, yeah, I'm in. Like, if you need a fridge moved out from where it was to clean behind it, I am a champion.
I am your man.
I am the champion. But if you need that fridge to go anywhere, no.
No.
You call somebody else or you get a dolly. And then sprinting, no, I'm not out. Like, it's just not me. I don't walk. I don't sprint. I don't run. I don't jog.
You're never going to last on the Green Mile with this attitude.
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm really not.
Okay.
The Green Mile.
That's the guy with the little mouse on it.
No, I've seen it.
Well, then what are you asking me questions?
It's just irrelevant. That's all I'm saying.
It was kind of irrelevant. No. I was going to go with it.
I thought of it 3 minutes ago.
All right,
ago,
man, moving along.
Yeah.
I've got to use
I thought Boova better shut up soon so I can share my billboard thing.
This boxcar's breaking down.
Okay. All right. Hey, so you can pick up Broken Connection by Echo at any, sounds like any major online retailer.
Maybe CD Baby or not.
As well, we said CD Baby too often. Unless we get paid by the click, and then maybe we're going to be all right. We just earned 9 cents from CDBaby.com.
Yes.
Or you can pick it up at the live show if you come out to Zeke's tomorrow night, starting at 6:30. It's five. Well, we just show up to the door, and it's going to be $5, but we'll let you in for $5.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Mike, people need some help. What do you got?
You want Dear Abby's?
You got some Pope style?
Real quick, Pope style.
Okay, hit me with Pope style.
Okay. The premise of Pope style advice is that some Yahoo that you used to be friends with in high school and you jilted him somehow. I don't know. He's mad at you. He's got a grudge at you. He told everybody that you're the Pope. And so now there's thousands of people on your front yard, and they refuse to leave without some advice, from Pope-style advice, so they can get on with their day. And this week, it tends to almost the social media aspect. But so there's a movement within Christianity. They're like anti-Christian Christians. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, they're like, people are too – they think this is too Christian. And like, I'm not one of those, you know, like, I'm not one of those people that thinks like that. Or that they have a real hard time with religious folks, right? Yeah. They're real against the establishment. And so, you know, I kind of got on board for a little while. Like, I thought, yeah, stodgy old pews, whatever, let's take it to the streets. You know what I'm saying? but here's the thing. If you let this go too far, then you're basically stepping right on the face of everything that Christ talked about, right? Because let's say you got a guy that doesn't know Christ at all. And he's living a sinful lifestyle, and he's doing whatever he wants, and he has no idea that he's separated from God. And you want to evangelize to that man. That's a score, right? Let's say you have a religious man that thinks that he knows Jesus Christ and attempts to be in relationship with him by following a bunch of rules that other people made up that have no connection to the heart of Jesus Christ, have no love for other people.
Okay.
You don't want to evangelize to that man.
Right.
They're the same guy, right? They're the same. Neither one of them know Christ, right? That's the problem. And like this ultra whatever hip anti-religious movement of Christianity like wants to condemn the current church for like their I don't know. Like I agree with them on some points. Like there's parts where religion overtakes Jesus, right? And that's a problem. But that's just another guy that doesn't know Jesus, right? That's not anything else but that.
Right.
And so he's the exact same guy that you're saying, hey, we got to drop everything and evangelize because we're going to change the world. And you're pretty much leaving the church that needs Jesus. And so, like, I guess I'm asking not to miss the forest for the trees here. When you rail against, religious people, which is a problem, I agree. Like, religion is an issue. But when you rail against them, you're basically saying, I don't want anything to do with those sinners. They don't know Jesus. I'm out of here. Right? That's a mistake. That's you're dumping on the same category of people, and it just seems so odd to me that they make the distinction.
So the basic nature of what you're saying is that when people get fed up with the religious of the church, where they feel like they're more focusing on religion and not Jesus.
Right.
Right. Where they're caught up in a religion and not in a relationship with Christ.
Right.
And you say they bail from the church to go help the sinner. They're actually also still bailing on the sinner.
Yes.
Right? Because someone who has put a religion or an infrastructure above Jesus has the same problem as a guy who doesn't have Jesus at all.
That's exactly right. Okay. Maybe I probably didn't phrase that right. But like it seems to be filling up my news feed more and more often. Of people like, you know, making fun of religious Christians, or they don't want anything to do with those kind of people who don't put up with swearing or, you know, some kind of offbeat behavior. And I'm like, man, like if they're that religious and they're missing Christ, then, you know, maybe you should be talking to them, you know, instead of this. Maybe there's all kinds of people that need to know Jesus, and religious people are one of them, you know. Yeah. And so like it seems like such a weird distinction to me, and I'm just seeing it a lot more often than I'm used to.
No, and like I think the perspective here is that if you find yourself in situations where you're dealing with people, I mean, whether you're in a church, like a church community infrastructure, actually any community, this is going to come up, right? You're going to come to a point where like the people around you aren't doing what you think they should, right? They don't appear to love Jesus, and you've been trying to talk to them and trying to help them and engaging in their lives, and nothing seems to be changing. And you're leading something, and nobody's really following the things that you're trying to get them to do, and this happens in families, it happens in communities, it happens in businesses, and you'll get to a point where you're like, this just isn't working out, things aren't changing, these people are not doing, they're not growing, they're not maturing, and you'll get to a point where there's a thought in your head that says the answer is to leave and go to somewhere where the soil is more fertile, but like the very truth that those things still exist where you're at advocate for you to remain. That's the truth. The truth is like it doesn't ever help the people for you to leave. If you're the maybe you're not the light, maybe actually you're causing the problem. That's possible. I'd be open to that.
No, that's true. Yeah,
you could be the problem.
Whole pinnacle,
yeah,
of the problem,
right? But like, you know, and this happens in every ministry. Every person that's ever tried to lead something is you'll get to the point and you're like, this isn't working, and either I'm failing or these people suck. And those are the two options that you can come up with. And so your solution is if I'm failing or they suck, one way or the other, if I leave, this solves problems. The truth is it doesn't. The truth is it doesn't solve problems. It doesn't help for you to leave. It doesn't help for you to bail on a community. It doesn't help for you to bail on a family. It doesn't help for you to bail on a relationship that's not working. Like, that doesn't solve your problems. And that's the mindset that you're talking about. It's like, these people are too stuck up. They're too uber religious for me. The way to solve this is for me to go and talk to the real sinner. Well, if that was the actual problem, what does that say about you? You left.
Yeah.
You left where you saw an issue, where people needed Jesus, and you said, I'm going to go to the other people who need Jesus in a different way, and I want to talk to them. I mean, it's possible you're not the right guy at the right time. I get that. I don't want to discount that. Right? Maybe God has you doing something else.
Yeah.
But like, there are certainly times where a level of frustration or a feeling that things aren't progressing the way they should, and you think maybe it's just better if I go. Like, that's the thought of a leaving husband, and it's just not a good reason to do anything. If you're being called to something else, I get that. But called away from this specifically into an ether of nothing because something wasn't working out, it just doesn't sniff right to me.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, and honestly, the heart behind it again is like, if it's, oh, this isn't working out for me, well, what's the heart behind that? Is that really a servant's heart where you're wanting to give and serve,
yeah,
and be that example of Jesus to someone else? Or are you just looking at what's best for you? Like, when you're leaving and just being like, well, this doesn't work for me, so I'm going to go somewhere else where it's going to work better for me.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's just a heart of selfishness and not a heart of serving.
Yeah.
And it's really not in the betterment of them, and it doesn't solve their problems. It just solves yours momentarily.
Right.
It's like, oh, it's just solving what I'm dealing with, but what they're dealing with is still going to be the same thing the next day. It might even be worse. I mean, unless you're the person causing
the problem.
Like,
we're
talking about.
There's caveats. There's reason to go away.
But I absolutely agree, especially in relationships. Like, you don't just leave because something seems better somewhere else, because honestly, then it's not going to be as good then, and you're going to leave again.
Yeah,
or something better somewhere else.
Yeah, if you're always chasing what's best for you, you'll be chasing that forever.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Because there always seems like there's something better coming around, as opposed to what does God have me doing and how am I serving others? And if you can get content in both of those things, then you're probably in the right spot.
Ready?
Yeah.
Dear Life from the Path.
Okay.
We were visiting my daughter and her husband when their 3-year-old Bethany, a fender, entered our room and rummaged through our medications. The door to the guest room was closed and the medications had been placed on a desk. Of course, everyone thought she had ingested some, so they rushed her to the ER. We were fortunate that nothing was found in her system. My son-in-law thinks we should help pay the medical bills. I have sent several $100s, but he is asking for more. Bethany is an only child, and they allow her free rein in the house. I have other grandchildren who are even younger, and none of them would dream of touching something that wasn't theirs. It has been almost a year since the incident, and they still haven't taught her to respect and leave things alone that are not hers. My daughter is a professional, and her husband works from home, which concerns me because he isn't as strict as I feel is necessary. Are we obligated to help with more of the medical expenses? I don't think so, because we have already helped, and I don't think it's our job to teach our grandchild boundaries. Grandma in Ohio. Booba!
Ha! You're up, Booba.
Really?
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, what would we do? The kid snuck in, took some dropsies.
I want to say no, that you're not responsible for taking care of the kid. I think the parents should have to do that. It's part of having insurance, part of dealing with health, all that stuff. Even given the $100 that you've already done, I wouldn't have even done that, to be 100% honest. The kid came in, messed with stuff that was yours. Ultimately, it's your grandkid, but yeah, the parents that they're trying to put a financial obligation on is ridiculous.
All right. Tunic, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't think they should feel the burden that they have to do that. I think also what they're facing is just what we're facing as a society, is this sense of entitlement. We just feel entitled, and we feel like we're entitled to everything. And so instead of earning it, which what our parents and those before us have done, is worked hard and earned it, worked hard, lived for respect, were taught the right ways, it's the parents' job, honestly. It really is. I mean, the grandparents can implement examples of respect, and they can do what they can, but that is not totally their burden.
Hey, that kid's 3 years old, man. You got to lighten up on that kid. He's 3 years old. He's rumming around. He opened the door. He grabs stuff.
Yeah. Did you hear that? Having troubles here because I agree on the basic premise of the question.
Yeah.
It says, like, I don't think I should have to pay this. But, like, the attitude of this person is real foul.
No, that's
true. I have other grandchildren that are younger than them, and they wouldn't dream of it.
Yeah. This kid needs to be taught respect. She is three. You know what I'm saying?
If you have medication, you are responsible for that.
I mean, I don't care that I mean, whether the child should have been there or not, you should not have put it in a place a child could have found it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, you just don't.
What if the child's 10
with prescription?
Does that change that?
You still, you know what? I don't do it if there's high schoolers because they might take it and sell it to their friends.
Ooh, friends.
I'm just saying, if you have medication and it's prescription, I don't care where you are, you don't just leave it out for people mm-hmm. to find it. You just don't.
It was on a desk, Dan.
Exactly.
Impossible
don't
to get to.
Keep it in your yeah. suitcase.
Okay,
lock
so
it up.
Are you saying that they should be responsible for medical
now,
bills?
I have a difficulty trying to figure out the financial part. I don't know why mom and dad don't have health insurance and why there's this big, huge bill. They've already paid hundreds of dollars.
Yeah.
I mean, and so that I don't know. I can't. That's a bigger issue. But I can say the grandparents are at fault for having that accessible.
Yeah, here's the deal. I find this whole story a little fishy with her attitude being like, the kid has got disrespect issues. The kid is 3. You know what I'm saying? Like, if he was stapling his poop diaper to the wall, we might be talking about something. But, like, this kid opened a door and walked in and grabbed something that has no idea what it is.
Sounded like a rifle.
Yeah. Right. Looks like a Lego or a pill bottle. They don't know the difference, you know?
Yeah.
And so, and they're like hundreds of dollars. That medical expense doesn't make sense. Most parents are like, I don't care about the bill. Get the kid in there. You know, thank you, Jesus. There's nothing wrong with him. We're great. You know what I'm saying? I'll pay $300 to get that stress off me without, you know, charging my mom and dad for the hassle.
Yeah,
the whole thing sounds
weird.
I wouldn't charge
my mom and dad. I wouldn't bring that up either.
You right.
know, the whole thing, yeah, the things just don't add up. There's some dysfunctional issues in this family. They need to get together and communicate and figure out the deeper issues that are there, I'd say.
Ultimately, it sounds like a grandmother that's trying to get in the way of, like, parenting this child. She's getting into, like, saying, well, she's not up to my standards of what a 3-year-old should be and all this different stuff. And the father's a stay-at-home worker, and he may not be as strict as for my liking and all
Here's
this different
deal.
Stuff.
Here's the deal. Nobody, no grandparent thinks their kids are as strict to their liking. Like, they're not raising them the way they did. And on the opposite side, want them to be not strict at all.
Yeah.
That's the general nature of being a grandparent.
Mm.
They don't discipline the kids. Go ahead and let them run wild. They can have candy. No. I don't think they owe me any money at all. I might pay it anyway, though. I might pay it anyway. Is it worth long term? Is it worth fighting over?
Yeah,
if I have it, the principle is irrelevant to me here.
Right.
I probably would, like, assuming they're not asking for $18,000
right.
or something. Like, if it's a matter of another couple hundred bucks, yeah. I might just pay.
If I have $600 and they're asking for $600, and it's the fact that the little kid went to the hospital and all this different stuff, the situation arises that there's money that the parents are having to pay they didn't anticipate, I feel the same way. If I have it, let's do it. But I don't think it's an obligation.
Let me ask you this, Mike. Let's say as a grandparent you weren't involved, okay? Yeah. This it was somebody else's pills, and they said, look, we could really use some help paying this. They had to be rushed to the hospital, and they said, we need $600, and you had it.
Yep.
Would you give that?
Yeah.
So the problem is you won't give it because it feels like it's out of compulsion or because they're forcing you.
Because one of those kids is my kid, and he's acting like a bum. That's why. It's my job to teach that kid how to live.
And you failed.
I know. And so
he lets his kid eat prescription medicine.
I'm not going to permit, as Echo pointed out, his entitlement attitude. Like, I've failed somewhere along the line that he thinks he's going to mob squeeze me for a couple $100. He's a cheap man, and he doesn't want to pay the medical bill. I don't pay a dime.
I might still pay it. I don't think you should, but I might.
Yeah, but you can't teach kids like you teach adults. The lessons just are going to be lost. Fair. Adults are not going to receive that training and that discipline the way that a child would. So if you treat an adult like a child, they're just going to split. So I don't think that's going to work.
If he splits, then he's not hassling me for money anymore. That's a win-win. Thanks, Eric. Let's hear what... yeah. Thank you for affirming my decision. Here we go. Secular says, that must have been some hefty emergency room bill. Obviously, closing the guest room door is not enough to deter your granddaughter. In hindsight, you know that you should keep anything you don't want her to get into a locked suitcase. But you and your husband are not mind readers. If this wasn't a wake-up call to your daughter and son-in-law, then it was time to teach their child the meaning of no and don't touch. Then I don't know what it will take to prevent another oops. As to your shelling out more money than you already have enough for Bethany's medical bills, I think you have given enough, and you should not be blamed for what happened.
It's false. It's a false lie.
What do you mean a false lie?
Yeah, you heard me. Think on it. Hey, you've been listening to Live from the Path. Thanks for hanging out with us on this balmy Monday evening. Big thanks to Ryan Ekatunik for joining us. I hope you guys will join us tomorrow night at Zeke's starting at 6:30, $5 at the door. We're going to be there. Echo's going to be there. It's going to be a great show.
And we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening to Live from the Path.